This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's a brighter day. We've had rain, lots of rain. Things are turning around. The rain has come. Oh, my gosh. Everybody was out dancing in the rain. The children were out barefooted dancing in the rain. They hadn't seen rain in so long.
And you didn't need to seed the clouds or anything?
No. I was going to. I was prepared. And it came, it rained, and it rained for 2 days.
Jeez.
So,
what'd you end up with total? What were your numbers? Do you know?
I don't know. My rain gauge is broke. I don't know what happened. So I don't even know how much rain we got.
Rain gauge probably hadn't been used.
I know how much they got in Dallas. They got 15 inches in Dallas.
Oh, my word.
And they were flooding, and the streets were flooded. Basements were flooded. We have very few basements, but a commercial building basements. Then the apartments, there was a lot of apartments people couldn't get out of. The water was in. They were stranded. And so that happened. But anyway, it's a wonderful thing to have rain.
You know, a couple of weeks ago when you said something about, I can't remember how you phrased it, but you said something about, you know, I think we need to have a hurricane or some kind of monsoon rain. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, you're going to regret that. And lo and behold, a week or two after you said that, all of a sudden you got the rain of the century. Wow.
That's right. We got the rain and rain and more rain. It rained for 2 days.
It's creepy how you do that. Really, it is. It's kind of scary.
There you go. I mean, but the sun's been out. It's wonderful. I saw these little rabbits playing.
Oh.
Yeah. The rabbits came out. They were excited. And we have a lot of little rabbits. You know, that's one thing about wild rabbits. They just... You know, they multiply and multiply, and you've got lots of them. And they're out in the grass playing. It's nice to see all the little animals out after a rain.
So it's almost like springtime with all the little animals like frolicking and all the woodland creatures out, you know, playing and doing their thing.
That's right. And the llamas love the rain.
Oh.
Yes. They hadn't seen rain in a long time either.
Yeah. What did it do to your grass? Because I know you had no grass for a while. Did it come back, or are you left with a puddle of mud?
The grass has come back. You won't believe it. I actually have green grass again.
Really?
It's an amazing thing. Yes. And in a week's time, the grass has turned green. I did not think it would. It was burnt so bad to the ground for lack of water. And you know, all the bushes were dying. The flowers had already died. And I saw some flowers actually coming out.
Wow. That's nice.
So I'm in shock. I'm absolutely in shock.
Man.
So maybe everything will survive. It's going to be touch and go because, you know, we went so long, so many months without rain. I'm not sure everything will come back, but it's looking better.
Yeah.
We haven't even had a lawn mowed in months.
Now,
because
there
was
will.
No grass. The grass is gone.
Wow.
You know, the mowers came and said, do you want us to mow? I said, are you kidding? We don't have any grass.
No, not unless you want to mow dirt. Wow.
That's right. And we didn't want to start a fire.
Yeah.
Because they were saying it was so dangerous to mow anyway. But we didn't have any grass anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, boy, I'm hoping the landscape companies survived. Hopefully.
I don't know if they all did. I wonder about that.
Yeah. What about the ranchers? Is it too late for them, even though you got rain, or can they?
They're saying it is. They're saying they're just selling their herds. Hmm. It's so dry and that there's nothing for them to eat, and they're just selling them off. They said they've got to.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I assume your forest fires, not forest fires, but the fires that were around several weeks ago, I assume those kind of like went away.
They seem to have all gone away now. Now that we've got rain, I'm not hearing about any fires starting.
Good.
So that's a good thing.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, then it's a big week since we talked last time. It's been
that's
a great
right.
week.
Things are looking up. It's going to be a good times in the city.
Wow. That's fantastic. Great news. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And AmericanFinancialMidland.com is our website.
You know, and I almost hate to say this, but now that we're starting to get into fall, hopefully you won't have any like weird storms that'll pop up, you know, tornadoes or ice storms or anything like that, because it's been strange for like the last, year and a half, your weather has. So hopefully.
Yeah, the weather's been really strange, but they say that the Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be a bad, bad winter, that there will be snow and ice and everything in between. We'll wait and see what happens. But I'm going to enjoy fall. I'm going to enjoy everything up until it happens.
Yeah, we'll enjoy the fall. Hopefully it'll be pretty event-free. I did see some Halloween candy in the store already.
I mean, people are crazy.
Yeah.
I'm hearing stories about they're putting up Halloween decorations, and this is August.
Are you serious?
You know?
For real?
Yes, but let me tell you something. Nordstrom says, even with discounts on their Nordstrom racks, nothing is selling.
Really?
They said their regular store is up 16%, but their Nordstrom racks, which that's all your goodies there, and it's quality, good brands, they're not selling. They said they are in trouble on Nordstrom racks, that they're just not making anything. And they said, even with all the steep discounts, people are not buying.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's because of the economy. People are worried, so they're just not shopping like they. I don't think anybody's shopping like they used to. You know, I know I would go and shop for hours. I believed in. I don't have the time. You know, I don't even have the time to shop. But I know used to, everybody shopped. Women, they'd shop till they dropped.
Yeah.
They'd go have lunch and they'd go back and shop some more. I'm not hearing stories like that now.
Wow.
And, Bed Bath & Beyond, is just barely hanging on. And then the other day, you know, that guy bought all that stock and then sold it, made it, $100 million? So a lot of the retailers, even with steep discounts, they're not doing good. And Target said, they discounted everything, and they were having trouble pushing the merchandise.
Really?
So it's a different time. Things are changing as we're watching it.
Boy, I know that, because prices are coming down. I mean, gas prices are coming down. Some product prices are coming back down. And I know it takes a while for, the economy to catch up and to really see if it's actually, translating into consumer spending and if that's going to bounce back and things like that. But that kind of scares me. Do you think that people maybe have found ways around, like, old traditional shopping in some ways? And now, like, the whole... Like going forward, people are going to, how we all kind of got used to, home delivery for groceries, or we all got used to like working remotely. Do you think this is like one of those things that's going to be like a new way of shopping or new trends or patterns?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're holding off on buying clothes like they weren't before. Before the pandemic, it was... Everybody was out every day. They needed something at a store. They were buying it. They were getting it. Then, like you say, we started buying everything online from Amazon or Kroger, or whoever it was. And I think buying patterns have changed. consumers have changed about what they buy and when they buy it. So I think it's going to make a big difference. I don't think you're going to see the big box stores. I think the big ones are going to get small and they're going to get profitable.
Wow. I mean, I know we're right at the end of August, and it seems like a little bit too soon to talk about it, but it's really right around the corner. It's coming up faster than you think, because the holiday shopping push is on its way. It'll be here before you know it. And what do you think? What do they think? What's the word about, like, holiday shopping? Is it going to be up, down? Is it enough to recover in time? Or are we in some more serious trouble, you think?
I don't know how it'll pan out. They were talking in the stock market this week. They said some of the gurus said the stock market's fixing to go sideways.
Really?
They said their exact words were sideways.
Ooh.
What? So I don't know. I know we've had a lot of people coming to us, getting out of the stock market. People not wanting to stay in. They don't, one family had lost about $400,000.
Oh, my word.
Another guy had lost $50,000. So a lot of these people, they can no longer stand the risk of, at their age, they're in their 50s and 60s, of losing that much money.
Wow.
You know, they just can't take the risk.
Yeah. Jeez.
They're changing their habits. They're changing their IRAs. They're just changing the way they do business.
Wow.
So I'm really noticing that.
Are people, because, you know, when things start coming back, people start saying, oh, wow, you know, okay, you know, prices are coming down. We're going to start, you know, shopping again. And then they seem to be under the impression of, okay, when people, you know, feel a little bit more confident, you know, they're not spending quite as much on, you know, gas or not as much on meat or not as much on groceries and, you know, things like that, then they're free and they will start spending again. But it almost sounds like as those prices come down where they would normally go out and start spending, they're still kind of holding on to it tight, and maybe consumer spending is not bouncing back, or at least maybe it just takes time. I don't know, but it seems like people aren't.
Well, I think it'll be a little while before we figure it out.
Yeah,
I think in the next 30 days, we'll see how it's going to shake out. If they're going to go back to buying, if they're going to change their buying habits, or if they're going to hold off on the big items and not get them.
Hmm.
Or will it be business as usual? Will they just say, well, I need that new truck, or I need that wardrobe, and I'm going to get it?
Yeah, they've been kind of like pent up too long. It's like, you know, I've got to go buy something. Wow.
Well, you know, women have that habit sometimes. You know, they can only go so many days without shopping. So, you know, we're going to see how it works. Everybody's going to go back to spending. But you take Belk. You know, Belk made it all through the pandemic, didn't have any problems, and they went bankrupt after the pandemic was over. And they lost some major brands. I was in Belk the other day. They must have had 5 pairs of jeans.
Really?
So the jean companies are shipping to them. You know, but Lancome took their business out of Belk. And that's a big loss. If you lose a cosmetic company like Lancome, that's going to set you back a lot. So I've noticed that a lot of the brands they can't get. And I asked them, I said, where are your Nike pants? They said, we no longer have Nike.
Really?
So Nike has pulled out on them. So some of these companies that went bankrupt, they won't ship to them now.
Wow.
And like Neiman Marcus, they used to have the finest brands in the world. A lot of the brands I used to buy, you can't buy them. They don't have them. So they've taken them away because when they've declared bankruptcy, they didn't all get their money back.
Wow.
Now, now then they won't ship to a lot of these people because they weren't paying.
So now that's a whole different ball game. It's not about consumer spending anymore. Now it's about product availability. Do you think maybe at some point, like these brands are figuring out that, you know, maybe with the way that people are shopping now, they're shopping online. Maybe they're, you know, trying to position themselves as more like direct to consumers instead of, you know, going through stores and going through retail outlets. Maybe they're just, you know, trying to you know, cut maybe overhead with, you know, shipping costs and things like that. And, you know, because anytime you have actual inventory in stores, you got to pay for all that stuff in advance. And then when consumers buy it, they get paid back on the back end. But you think maybe they're doing more like I don't want to say like drop shipping, but, you know, something more direct to customers and kind of cutting out middlemen altogether. Is that, do you think, a thing?
I think they would like to. Now, you take somebody like Walmart, the biggest store in the world. They don't pay for like 120 days. Mm. They do not pay for that merchandise till it's long gone.
Mm.
And it hurts those people. A lot of people won't ship to Walmart because they don't get paid right away. It's not 30 or 60. It's not even 90. It's 120 days.
Really? I didn't know that.
I've talked to people that supply Walmart, and they said it's hard. I mean, if you're going to do business with Walmart, you've got to have a lot of cash because they're not going to pay till they have to.
Wow. I didn't know they did it like that. Huh.
Yeah, they do that. And so when you're that big, you can do that. The other stores can't do that. They have to pay within a reasonable time, but they don't pay in advance.
Hmm.
They don't pay you for 30 or 60 days, whatever their terms are. So that the people that supply them have got the merchandise on the line, and they're hoping their people are going to pay like they should.
Wow, that's it almost seems like, and I didn't realize that about Walmart. It almost seems like, though, that now these brands are having to almost maybe balance between the new way that people shop. You know, like you're talking about, like most people buy online, or a lot of stuff is done through Amazon, or, you know, direct through the brand itself. Between that and, you know, dealing with the actual retailers themselves, you know, who they're going to ship to. Malls are obviously, you know, closing. There's less malls than there ever have been. So that's kind of like out of the picture. So standalone retail brick and mortar locations, those are kind of like dying out a little bit on a wide scale. So maybe it's kind of like a delicate balance between, you know, when are they going to get paid? Are they going to get paid? Who's in bankruptcy? You know, how do consumers buy? It seems like we're in a total, like, uncharted territory. We're not really sure. It's almost like spin the bottle right now with how things are going to go. Wow.
I think it's changing. I think retail's changing. I think we're at the end of this year, we'll know how retail works. It's going to work different, I think, than it's ever worked before. I think a lot of things will be different as far as buying than it has been. I talked to a lady yesterday. She had went and got a CD at the bank. She's 88 years old, been a client of mine for years and years. And she was needing help with her annuities. And I was talking to her. She said, well, I just renewed my CDs. I said, well, how much did you get? She said, 2%.
Ooh.
Can 2%. You imagine a CD is 2%?
Wow.
Not, I mean, I can't even imagine. And that, you know, years ago, you know, when CDs were popular, people made good money on their CDs. But this lady has always had annuities with me. They have ranch land. They have other things. But they have this thing about CDs. They're old school, and they go way, way back. And they'll go to each bank and see what they'll pay on a CD,
wow.
You know, and get them 0.25% more or just a little bit more, you know. And she said, yeah, she just renewed. And I said, how much? She said, 2%.
You about fell out of your chair, didn't you?
I did. I just about fell out of my chair. And I go, oh, my goodness, you know. It's I don't understand it. Yeah.
Is when you talk to other, because I know you talk to a lot of people, are they in a place where they're kind of like realizing that things are not necessarily going the way they used to? Or are they really kind of, you know, really taking stock and saying, you know, CDs at 2% is not going to work. Stock market is not going to work. We're losing too much money. The forecast for, you know, the way the, like you said earlier, if there is a sideways shift in the stock market, and it does go sideways, you know, people are maybe doing a little proactive thinking, and they're thinking, you know, this is probably the time that we need to, there's too much on the table that's uncertain. and it's really in every direction they look at, and it's time to make a change to either a life settlement or an annuity. Is that kind of what you're hearing, or what's the feedback?
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing is people are going to change. They're not going to stay with it unless you're really elderly and doing CDs, and that's the only person I have that's in CDs. But she's going to be in CDs till the day she dies, you know. That and her annuities. You know, she's got several annuities. She gets good income every year, and she's at the age where she has to take money out of the annuities. You know, by a certain age, you've got to start drawing on your annuities when you're that old. And so she does every year. But other than that, no, I don't have anyone that's in CDs because it's not going to help them. You couldn't live on a CD right now because there's no money in it. The check they send you is so small, you might go to the beauty shop or the grocery store, and that's about it. So people are talking. Everybody else is talking about either doing annuities or life settlements, or are they going to stay in the stock market? And the people I know, we've had a tremendous amount of people come in the last 2 weeks that want out of the stock market. They don't want the liability. They don't want the risk. Other clients we've got have recommended us. So they've come to us. We've moved their money. I moved $1.5 million for one family. I moved $350,000 for another, and I think $400,000 for another one because of their losses. And they just told me how much the losses were. And
wow.
They couldn't go on with these kind of losses because they're nearing retirement. So when you're nearing retirement, you're going to start thinking about that 401k or that IRA, how much money is there and how much will be there for retirement. Can you count on it? That's what they're thinking now. Can I count on that money when I need it?
Well, it's always a good idea to get a little bit more conservative. You know, when you're, you know, 30 or 40 or I guess maybe even early 50s, and you're playing, you know, some high stakes games like the stock market, and you can afford the losses, you got some recoup time. But as you get closer to retirement, you know, that window starts to, you know, you want to make sure you kind of be a little bit more conservative, because you don't want to, you know, get, you know, 2 years out from retirement and all of a sudden, you know, something happens on the stock market, you lose everything, and then, you know, you're back to square one again, and kind
that's
of
right.
The last
and,
40
and,
years
and
are
that's
gone.
Why you know, people like life settlements. Everybody always asks for that first. That's their first choice. They love life settlements. I had a doctor come, and he said, you know, I'm an infectious disease doctor, so he said, I understand life settlements. He said, I think I can do well because, you know, I'm in the disease business. He said, so I think I can read the LEs, I can understand them, and, you know, make some good investments. So that's why he came. Other people come and say, you know, I need something solid. They know that a life settlement is solid because it's a life insurance policy. It's issued by a large life insurance company. So it's not issued by us. They're not getting paid by us. They're getting paid from the life insurance when the policy matures. And I had people this week saying, how does it work? And I said, you know, I explained to them that we buy life insurance policies on terminally ill people. They must have cancer. And that reminds me, I've heard of more cancer deaths this week, I believe, than I've ever heard. Someone's always saying, well, they're finding all these cures for cancer. If they are, I'm not hearing about it locally, you know, because I know several people that have got cancer in one family. You know, there's two members of the family that have cancer in one family. And they're going back and looking to see if it's hereditary. How did this, you know, more than one member get it? You know, two sisters got it. They both died of cancer.
Oh, geez.
And I've never heard of this much cancer. Maybe it's this time of year. I don't know what it is. But I know of more cases right now than I've known in a long time locally. These are people I know personally that the families have cancer. And it seems like there's an awful lot of people that are getting it and that are dying of it. Just all of a sudden. And maybe it's just, you know, this time of year. I don't know what it is. But I know that the policies that we're buying right now, they're short-term. They're not as long as we usually have. A lot of them are 18 months. I'm buying two policies that are 18 months. Another one's like 24 months. So they're all really short term. So I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked at the kinds of cancer policies that were being offered. And one guy said this to the broker. He said, how can I rescind? How long do I have to rescind the policy? So he thinks he's that sick that even though he's going to sell it to us, that he may have to rescind it if he doesn't make it.
Wow, that's...
I've never had anybody ask that. I've never had anybody say, how long can I take advantage of rescinding the contract if I'm too ill?
Wow, so he may be cutting it close.
I think I've got a couple that are cutting it very close. I have one policy that I'm waiting on the contract for, and this lady, last week, she's got a couple of kinds of cancers. She said, wait a minute, I want to go have additional tests made. And so she goes and has additional tests to see if she's got time to sell it and or if it's more serious. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we'd already agreed to buy her policy. She says, wait a minute, I want to go and have some additional tests to it before I sign the agreement.
Really?
Yeah. So that's the first time I've ever had a couple of people that were that worried about their longevity.
Yeah, I don't remember you ever really saying anything like that. Once in a while, you have, you know, a few questions here and there, but this many, like right in kind of like the same cluster, that's really, and to have them all kind of like generally being, you know, really short, because usually, what do you usually like 24, 30 months on average is
30 to 38 months, you know. And these people are so worried, you know, usually we can close a case very quickly. We're not closing quickly. These people are backing up saying, what if, how long can I have to rescind if I need to? Well, you know, they've got about 30 days from the time we give them the money to rescind if they're sick. And it's just, I'm in shock that they're asking this. And that they're going and have additional tests before they sign their contract. We've never had that happen. Usually they put it out there. We've got all their medical. We're looking at the medical. The medical's up to date. We buy it based off the medical and off the life expectancy report, and that's all there is to it. But they're taking their time. It's taking longer to close these cases because they're doing all this. They're worried about how long they're going to live. And whether they should keep the policy. They're saying, is it going to be so short that I need to keep it myself?
Wow.
And what? Am I going to need it for medical or am I going to pass away? I mean, they're suddenly saying that. And I've never had that happen. You know, usually everybody thinks, well, I've got 3 years to live. I've got a lot of medical expense. And we have one lady, they were talking to her about selling her policy. She said, I've just got to get some money. I've got to get some money for medical. So that one we're closing out. So it's a different time. They're viewing their medical different. Their longevity, with how long they're going to live, that people are really onto that right now. So they're really thinking and considering. And, you know, they're trying to get the most they can out of their policies, more so than usual, you know. Sometimes it's unrealistic. They're asking for so much that we couldn't even possibly buy it. So we've got to get them back down off the fence and have them be realistic about what they can expect to get out of this policy.
Man, this is a different trend. Did they wait too long?
It's completely different.
To decide?
I think they have. I think they've a few of them have waited till it's really critical time as to whether to keep it, do they have enough time? Are they going to need it for medical, or are they going to need it just for the family? I mean, it's at that crossroads right now. So we've got several of those that are hesitating. Like I said, the lady went back and had more tests run, and she'd already discontinued all treatment.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Then that really kind of changes things.
It does change things. If they say, I'm not doing another day of chemo.
Hmm.
You know, I don't care what happens. Or if they're doing immunology, or if they're doing radiation, it's not as bad. yeah. or if they're just in the middle of treatment. And some of the cancer drugs makes them ill. So they say, well, I'm not going to take that anymore. Then they have to go back on it. You know, if they have any hope at all, they've got to stay on that cancer treatment.
Yeah. And when they stop, you talk all the time about, you know, not only stopping, but then they, you know, there's the alternative treatments, you know, like going to, you know, Mexico or to Europe and having like a juice therapy and things like that. And that just kind of like progresses things as well.
It does. And the time they get back and they go to a regular cancer doctor, then they find out they've wasted all that time and it's spread, you know. And we talk about whether it's steady, whether it's progressing, you know, what is it doing? Is it stable? And these are all big items when you've got it. And then let's look at the other side, the investor. The investor comes in and we say, look, it's 1% a month. If it's 24 months, you're going to make 24%. If it's 30 months, you make 30. If it's 12 months, you make 12. So on their side, they've got a good profit margin. And the premiums right now are the lowest we've ever had. I've gotten policies that the premium is so low, it's just barely registers. So everything for the investor right now is good. They're going to make more profit. It's going to be steady, you know, it's 2 years, 3 years, or less. So these are good policies. They've got good profit and the risk is not high. You know, you've got a small risk. Always you've got a risk, but it's not like the stock market. You're not risking 100% of your investment. And in the stock market, you have no guarantee of getting all your principal back. With this, your principal is always guaranteed. You're always going to get that principal back. So I think it's for most people, it's a safer investment. You're not going to become a millionaire overnight. Nobody's going to promise you that, but good, steady earnings. And then, of course, if you're not accredited, you must be accredited to do this.
To kind of drive it home a little bit, what makes the principal so protected? What is it? What makes
It's in a life insurance policy. It wouldn't be protected if it wasn't in a life insurance policy. But when you're in a life insurance policy, they're going to pay whatever the face amount of the life insurance is. That's why your principal's always guaranteed. So that's why it's safer than the stock market, because the life insurance company is worth billions and billions of dollars. So you know they can pay the claim. You know you won't have any trouble getting your money. Sometimes we have trouble getting the death certificate. But once we get that death certificate, the insurance company will pay. We've never had an insurance company not pay us. So they don't care if it's $20 million or $500,000, they'll pay the claim. They wrote the policy. They have reserves to cover it, and they're going to pay you. That's why your principal's always safe, always guaranteed. And people that buy policies, they have life insurance. They know that they'll get paid when they die. So it's a simple equation. Life insurance policies are safe because the company always pays their claims.
Hmm. And so no matter what happens, if the stock market, you know, goes sideways, or we hit a super recession, or we hit a depression, or whatever happens, it's still going to be there. And the life insurance companies, they still have those reserves regardless. Nothing changes the value of the policy. It's not like, well, if it even comes in early, it's a 24-month policy and it comes in, say, in 12, they don't discount what they pay out. It's you just get the same amount. You just get it earlier. And so that's another benefit
as well.
That's
right. Whatever they agree to pay, whatever you know your contract calls for, that's what you'll get. If it says 24% and 24 months, and like you say, if it comes in early, you still get the same amount. If it comes in on time, it's the same. Or if it's late, you're going to get what the contract calls for always. They're not going to discount it or ask you to discount.
Do you think people are starting to see the value in a life settlement more than maybe they used to because of maybe situations like the stock market, looking for other alternatives? You know, the CDs, not the best way to go. Bonds, not really the best way to go. And so, you know, they're kind of getting down to, you know, check, 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 check. And as they get further down the list, they realize, you know, a life settlement really does make a whole lot of sense. Are they starting to see the value more than maybe they used to?
I think so. It's big business. Remember, we have between 95 and 98 million in policies.
Wow.
So that tells you. That tells you. And someone said to me the other day, Faye, this is a large amount. And I don't ever think about it being a large amount. I think about the individuals that's invested. You know, how much someone has invested with me. I don't think about the overall picture that it's $95 million,
wow,
you know, in policies, value. So it is, I guess it is a big deal. But we're just local with local people investing with us, you know. So we do it all the time with the same people. You know, we know all of our customers. We know how much they've got. I think there's about $15 million in the bank right now.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Yeah, $15 million to invest. So we need to get that invested, get them in policies, and do it all over again.
And that's really how the whole process.
Because this is money that's just, yeah, this is money that's just recently come in. We're waiting for two more policies right now that we had trouble getting the death certificate. It's in New York, and so we send it in, you know, New York, New Jersey. You got to watch them. And, you know, it kept waiting and waiting. He didn't die right there in New York City. He died somewhere else in New York State. And we finally got the wife and them to tell us, you know, where did he die at, where we can get the death certificate. You know, it's strange. These people love to get the money from us, right? That's their deal, getting the money. But then once they get it and they die, they don't want to help you. They're not going to volunteer any information. They're not going to say, oh, Joe didn't die up here. He died somewhere else. And here's where you can get the death certificate.
Yeah. Well, once they've gotten paid, you know, it's kind of, most people are kind of, plus they're also going through their own loss, I'm sure, may have something to do it. I don't know. I know how you are never really a big fan of folks in New Jersey anyway, just because of the process.
That's right. I'm not, because they just take their time. And they may say, we're not going to work today. We're going to close up today, you know?
Yeah.
Their attitude is just a little rough up there.
It's kind of funny. Anytime I want to fire you up, all I have to do is just mention New Jersey.
That's right. It gets me going, folks. That's all there is to it.
Wow.
Especially during the pandemic, it was so rough, you know, trying to get death certificates from New Jersey. They'd close up. They'd say, no, we're not doing that, you know. I mean, it was just bad.
It's almost like a cuss word for you.
Yes, it is. It's just, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It is a famous author. A famous author. His name is Stephen Harrigan. He was born in Oklahoma City, 1948, and at the age of five, he came to live in Texas. So he grew up in Abilene and Corpus. He's a longtime writer for Texas Monthly. His articles, his essays appeared in a lot of publications, Atlantic, The New York Times, Book Review, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, Conte Nast, Audubon, Travel Holiday. I mean, this is a famous author, folks. His commentary on film and television for Texas Monthly. He did a piece for Texas Monthly about a trek he made to a mountain summit where his father died in a plane crash before he was ever born. And it won the Edwin Budge Drake Award from the Texas Institute of Letters for the best work of a journalist. He's the author of 12 books of fiction, and nonfiction. The Gates of the Alamo, it became a New York Times bestseller, a notable book. He's received a number of awards, the TCU Texas Book Award, the Western Heritage Award for the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum, the Spur Award for Best Novel of the West. Do you remember the novel, Remember Ben Slayton?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. It was published by Knopp in 2011. It was a stunning work of art. The Wall Street Journal called it. It's a human moment in our history. It also won a Spur Award, as well as the Jesse H. Jones Award from the Texas Institute of Letters, the James Fenimore Cooper Prize, given by the Society of American Historians for the best work of historical fiction. In 2013, the University of Texas Press published a career-spanning volume of his essays. It's called The Eye of the Mammoth, and it's masterful, enchanting. It's irresistible. This book has been reissued in paperback, so now you can get that one in paperback. The book won a Pulitzer Prize for historical fiction, and then the movies he's done. He's written for television, HBO, The Last of the Tribe, starring John Voight, Graham Greene, and then The King of Texas. This is a Western retelling of Shakespeare's King Lear.
Really?
A Western retelling of Shakespeare.
I'm just trying to picture that. I'm like, what? You, those two don't...
Can you picture that? Oh, my gosh. Patrick Stewart, Marcia Gray Harden, and Roy Scheider played in it.
Really?
Then, yes. And then his most recent television production was called The Colt. It's an adaptation of a short story by Nobel Prize author Michael Shokoff, and it aired on Hallmark. And for his screenplay of it, he was nominated for a Writers Guild Award, Humanitarian Prize. Then he wrote The Witchway Tree, and this is an adaptation of Elizabeth Crook's novel about a young girl's obsessive hunt for a panther that killed her mother. And that's in development.
Wow.
The Big Wonderful Thing, a sweeping narrative of Texas from prehistory to the present, was published in 2019 by the University of Texas Press. It was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, and they said the book is brimming with sass, intelligence, literary acumen, and juicy details.
Juicy details.
Juicy details.
Love juicy details.
And they say he is what to literature that Willie Nelson is to Texas music.
Really? That's a big deal.
That's how good he is.
Wow.
It is a big deal. And his latest novel this year is The Leopard is Loose. Now, this is based on a real-life incident. I don't know if you remember back then. In 1950, a leopard escaped from the Oklahoma City Zoo, and the city went into panic, chaos. and this book, Austin Statesman says, it's taut, it's macular, it's an invaluable historical novel.
Wow.
And it portrays the strength of family bonds. Now, he's a 1970 graduate of the University of Texas. He lives in Austin. He's taught there for 20 years at UT. And he is taught at the James A. Michener Center for Writers. He's a writer at large for Texas Monthly. This guy has won so many awards, it's just, it's award after award after award. He's that good.
Jeez, I mean, I know I don't live in the author world. I've never dipped my toe in the authorship pool, but I had no idea that half these awards that you named off even existed. I've never even heard of half these before.
And he's been inducted into the Texas Literary Hall of Fame. He and his wife Sue Ellen have three daughters, has six grandchildren, and finds time to write all these wonderful books. And it's one every word I've ever even heard of.
Jeez, and most I haven't.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's just amazing. The story about the Alamo, the story about the panther and the girl, all these have been made into movies. He's done all these Hallmark movies. He's so good, a writer. that he writes for television. The Cult is a fabulous movie that they're making, and I'm just shocked that he's written this much stuff. And you know, a lot of times people write books, but nobody reads them. And then lots of times nobody ever tells anything about your books. His books have won so many awards, so many people have read them and given a review. He's been reviewed by everybody in the world, and they say, you know, he's just like Willie Nelson is to music. He's that good.
Wow. You know, I almost wonder with as many different things as he's done, not only things he's written, but you know, ones that have turned into movies. I wonder if we've seen some and not realize that they were, you know, his work. What's his name again?
Harrington, Steve Harrington.
Okay.
I wonder if a lot of people just don't realize the movies they've seen, that he wrote those movies, or that it was taken from one of his books, maybe.
Yeah. It's a thing. You know, we watch a lot of, you know, movies like on Hallmark, you know, when those come out, and, you know, they kind of rerun the same ones over and over. I wonder if at some point we've seen one and not really realized that it came from one of his publications. Interesting.
Well, yeah, and of course I've read Remember Ben Clayton, and it became famous, and I didn't know at the time that it was that famous. You know, everybody says it was a work of art, and it won so many awards.
Yeah,
and you know, he knows Texas. You know, he writes about Texans, the Cult, and then the Eye of the Mammoth. You know, it's been reviewed by everybody in the world. And then he writes all these others, you know, for television, for Hallmark. He's done a lot of Hallmark movies. So he is a great writer. He can write anything, looks like.
Clearly. The thing that really intrigues me is the mashup between the Shakespeare.
That's what I love, too. How many people are going to catch that? King Lear as a Western. Like, I mean, huh. Oh, my gosh. And the Gates of the Alamo.
Yeah.
You know, it's received so many awards, like the Western Heritage Award, the Western Heritage Award from the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Foundation. It's just, you know, and all of them say his books are stunning. You know, The Cult, I imagine that's a big, wonderful thing. It's just, he's an amazing writer and lives in Austin, Texas.
Hmm. And
everybody needs to read some of his books, or when you're watching a Hallmark movie, check and see who the writer was.
I really want to go get Gates of the Alamo. That really interests me a lot.
I think the Gates of the Alamo is probably one of his best.
Hmm.
Of course, I think I would go and get the one with King Lear. King Lear as a Western, you know?
I'm just trying to picture it in my brain. And I think my brain explodes a little bit when I try to put that together on my own.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, I can't even imagine King Lear as a Western. It just doesn't seem to work that way.
No, it does not. But it must be brilliant. I mean, he must have done a great job with it. He's probably pulled off the literary impossibility of the century, I would imagine. If you can put those two together.
Yeah, I think he has too. Wow. I just can't imagine. And he says, a big, wonderful thing. It explains why David Crockett was the Taylor Swift of his day. Oh, my gosh. David Crockett. Oh, me.
Jeez.
Oh, he's got a heck of a sense of humor.
Clearly. And he's brilliant. It sounds like he's brilliant. He's great at from just from the description that you gave alone, without even reading, you know, things like King Lear or anything like that. It seems like he's got the kind of brain that takes two oddball things you would never put together and finds some weird way to mash them up and make it work in an actual, like, respectable kind of, you know, way that people would take seriously. Not just like, oh, this is just a joke. This is ridiculous. But it actually, I mean, it look at all the awards he's won. You know, I mean, it's you have to have a special place to be able to do stuff like that. It's kind of like, you know, Dr. Seuss, to be able to make up words that rhyme and have them all, you know, sound fun and funny and things like that. You have to really be a special person. And so it sounds like, you know, he's still around. He's still in Austin, right?
That's right. He's still very much alive. I mean, this guy is not that old. You know, he's got grandchildren, but I mean, to be able to write like this, and then everybody reviews it, said this guy is fabulous.
Wow.
You know, there's just nobody like him, and his books are that great. And he's written 12 books. He's done all this for HBO and all the television series. He's working on this new one right now that Robert Duvall is going to be executive producer of, that new movie he's doing right now.
Wow. It's amazing. And Patrick Stewart was in one of his productions. And so, I mean, yeah, he's got the attention of some very big names and institutions. So, geez. Steve Harrington, you say, right? Or Harrington.
Steve Harrington, Harrigan, wow. H-A-R-R-I-G-A-N.
Harrigan, all right. Because I'm going to have to find some of his works. King Lear and probably Gates of the Alamo are at the top of my list. But
yeah,
I'm sure
I think Gates
others.
Of the Alamo, you know, would certainly be, like you said, Davy Crockett, you know.
Taylor Swift of our time.
Taylor Swift of our day.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Wow. This guy was completely off my radar. I'm glad that you brought all this to the table. This is really good stuff. I really like it. Cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And I forgot to mention, you know, Flint, our CPA, is going to be in Midland through Monday.
Really?
Did I mention that?
No.
Yes, he's going to be in Midland. He's never been to the office out there, folks. So he's coming out. He'll be there on Monday all day long. And so if you want to meet Flint or go by the office, you got any questions, go by the office and meet Flint Gaines.
Wow. What
yeah.
Is he going out because for any particular reason? You just wanted to see the office?
Well, Claudia is going to be gone. She's going to be on vacation, and he volunteered. And I love a volunteer.
Wow.
You know, he said, why don't I go out and be in the office while she's gone?
Huh. So he just took the initiative.
Okay, Flint. He took the initiative. He drove out. Now he knows it's 6.5 hours. You know? So now he knows it's not just around the corner. You know, so that was good for him to find that little drive.
Yeah, give him some time
sure
to explore
it was
himself.
Good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
It
gives you time to think about everything you need to be doing. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Wow. How long has he been out? Did he come out like Tuesday, Wednesday-ish?
Thursday morning.
Oh, did he?
He came out Thursday morning. So Thursday, Friday, and he'll be there Monday.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you need to ask any questions, got a question, or make up a question, we'll go by and see Flint.
Make up a question.
Make up a question, yeah.
You ought to have like just a general show and tell. Show up Monday at noon.
That's right. Show and tell. I love show and tell.
Oh my goodness. So earlier you were talking about how life settlements are really the big draw for a lot of people. They're really interested in those. That's the big thing. Although if people are not accredited, because I know you mentioned the accreditation for life settlements. If somebody is not accredited, a really good alternative, and we don't mean to pitch this as though it's plan B. For a lot of people, this is a very viable plan A. But annuities are also independent of the stock market, but still a great option for investing, especially as people, you know, look at their portfolio saying maybe we haven't made as much as we wanted to or thought we had. We're a little unsure about what's up ahead. We're looking for something a little bit more conservative. Annuities are also a great option. Go into a little bit more about annuities, if you could.
Well, annuities are probably the safest thing I know to invest in. Your principal's always safe. They guarantee your principal till the day you die. In other words, You can keep one for 20 years, 10 years, whatever you want. You can take 10% out a year. If it makes money, they credit it. It cannot be backed out. When you make money with annuity, it locks in that year. They lock in your gains. It never goes. It's not like stock market. You can't lose it the next month or the next year. So that's what is good about annuity. You always know where you stand. When it makes money, they lock it in. The next year, they go back and do it again. So each year stands on its own, and every time you make money, it locks it in. And after the first year, you can start taking money out. You can take 10% a year out forever. If 1 year you don't take anything, the next year you can take 20%. At the end of the term, it's a walk away. At the end of 10 years, you can walk away. You can cash it out, walk away. Most people don't. Everybody I've got, like the 88-year-old lady, she's been with me for years. And, you know, she takes 10% a year out. She's got four annuities. She takes 10% out of each one every year. And one of them is her husband's. He passed away several years ago. So it's an inherited policy. It's an inherited IRA. And she takes money out of it just like she does the other one. So annuities are great. They don't make as much as a life settlement, but they're steady. They make good money. Like I think the most that they're making is 10 to 11%. And that's not a guarantee. It's every year stands on its own as to what it's going to make. But it mirrors the stock market. It mirrors it. It's never directly in the stock market, but it's going to have the gains of a stock market without the risk. That's what's so good about an annuity. And it's a fixed annuity. It's not a variable annuity. Stock brokerage houses sell variable annuities, which is fine, but they have mutual funds in them. If you've got mutual funds in, it can go down just like the stock market does. So if you want an annuity that doesn't go down, make sure it's a fixed index annuity.
Are there any risks with an annuity?
I don't know what it could be. I mean, the life insurance companies that back it are huge. They're worth billions. The one we use is over $60 billion, been in business over 100 years.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. So we know we can rely on it. I've done annuities for this company for over 20 years. So I've got people with annuities with me that have had them for 20 years. I've had people with us that have got them 10 years, 15. This 88-year-old lady's had it all these years.
Wow. That speaks volumes.
Yeah. It does. And, you know, yesterday when I was helping her, she said, "Fad, I'm having trouble filling this out." And I told her how to fill it out. I said, "Just sign it and send it in." That's what she's going to do. And at 88, she can still fill it out.
Wow. So either way, really, it sounds like whether you people want to go the life settlement route or the annuity route, there are options for people to not have to go or stay in the stock market if they don't want to. So I guess it really just kind of depends on, you know, if people are accredited, what they want to do, what their goals are, how aggressive they want to be. Is that kind of like you'll kind of like help them figure out which is the best option for them? Is that a thing?
That's right. Yes. We go through it. We see what is going to work for them. And that's what we do. Everybody's an individual. Everybody has different ideas. They have different goals. They may have grandchildren that they want to provide for when they're gone from this world. They may have children. Sometimes people have a child that's going to spend every dime they get. So if you put it in annuity, it's limited. They can't just take all the money and run. They have to take it either monthly or annually. It's just like when we've done trusts for people. Sometimes they have one child that they don't want to get the money till they're 35, 40 years old because that child has been on drugs. They've been on something else. They've had problems, and they can't trust them with their money. So they put it where they can't get to it all at one time.
Okay.
And sometimes parents have to do that.
Yeah, sometimes they have to protect, I guess, the children from their own self.
From themselves. That's exactly right.
So either way, people can come see you, talk to you, get the ball rolling, and I assume you have some availability this coming week. Yes?
That's right. But a member, they have to be accredited to do the life settlement. They must make $200,000 a year individually, or they must have $1 million without their home.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. Glad you threw that in there. I'm not sure we covered that earlier, so that's a good point to make. Okay, so finally, for people to come with any questions or to if they want to start right away, they can. If they just want to get more information, they can. You'll talk to them, but they do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website for them is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Got a lot of good information, but they need to call and talk to me. They can send me an email. If they'll send an email, I'll call them back. I'll talk to them. I'll go over everything and see if this is for them.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.